In the past several weeks, we've been looking at the Gospel of John. We've looked at various titles that through the Gospel of John that's used to describe Jesus or names that he used for himself. And we looked at the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. We looked at how he's the breath of God. We looked at how he is the bread of life. Pastor Jeremy preached on that. And then the living water, how he's the Lamb of God. Pastor Jeremy spoke about that Christmas Eve. And not only is he the Lamb who came to take away the sins of the world, but he is also the Good Shepherd, the one who takes care of his sheep. And that's where we are this morning in John chapter 10, the Good Shepherd. If you have your Bibles or you can look up on the screen from the NIV, I'll read the first four verses in John 10. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. But the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought them out, all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And then in verse 14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Well, Jesus was not only the Lamb of God, he was the good shepherd. And this good shepherd came to us for a number of reasons. I just want to highlight a few from this chapter, John 10. Jesus, as our good shepherd, came to us, first and foremost, that we might know him and that he might reveal himself to us, that we, in other words, may establish relationship with him. You know, the greatest need for any human, God-given need, is to be known and to know others. Even if it means doing something infamous or illegitimate or even criminal, even in a very, try to meet a legitimate need in an illegitimate way, which isn't good, but people so desperately want to know. And what I mean by this is Mark David Chapman assassinated one of the Beatles, John Lennon, some 40 years ago or so, and just as John Lennon was coming back to his apartment in New York City, because he wanted to steal the Beatles' global fame. This is his quote. He said, the bright light of fame, of notoriety was there, and I couldn't resist it. And then more than 200 people falsely claimed to have kidnapped Charles Lindbergh baby some 90 years ago. They yearned to become a part of the scandalous international story. They wanted their name to be out there, so they falsely claimed to kidnap the baby. Can you imagine? The human's deepest longing is to know others and be known by others. They crave it. We do. But Jesus said, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. We can find comfort in the fact that our good shepherd knows us. And he wants to make himself known. Now, best friends and family members, they know each other because they communicate with one another. They talk to each other. And therefore, they know each other well. And in verse 3, we're told that the sheep, the shepherd's sheep, listen to his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He talks to us. A shepherd and the sheep in the East would he would name his sheep with endearing terminology, sort of like how we name our dogs and our cats. That seemed to fit their personality or what they look like physically. Is that true of your pet if you have one? I had a Sparky dog named Sparky because Sparky was very sparky when he was a kid. And then I had a dog named Mickey, a little chihuahua, because he looked like Mickey Mouse. My sister had a dog named Limpa because it looked like a brown limpa, a Swedish rye bread they called limpa. So does it fit your animal too? Well, the shepherd would name his sheep in the same way, like Blackie or Fluffy or Grumpy or Sweetie or Pee-wee. And then some of the male sheep, though, were reserved for sacrifice in the Old Testament. And so maybe their names would be something like Sirloin or Lamb Chop or Dead Meat. Hey, Dead Meat. God knows each of us on the most deepest level, and he created us uniquely. No one's like us. And so the sheep listen to the shepherd's voice, we're told. When I returned home to New York after being gone as a youth pastor in Salina, Kansas, I think I was gone for nearly 3 years when I finally returned home for Christmas, went into my hometown home in New York, Jamestown, New York, and the first thing I did was Sparky, and he recognized my voice immediately, come bounding to me, even in his old age. God calls all of us by name, but are we listening? There's a story of a man who had difficulty communicating with his wife, and he concluded that his wife was maybe becoming hard of hearing, and so he did this little experiment. When her back was toward him in the living room, he decided he'd whisper, "Hey, honey, can you hear me?" And she didn't respond. And so he moved a little closer. "Can you hear me now?" Still no response. Moved yet a little closer. "Can you hear me now?" Still no response. So finally he got right behind her, right into his ear. "Can you hear me now?" And she responded, "For the fourth time, yes." The problem was not in her hearing. In the same way, the problem is not with God when we don't hear him. He's speaking to us. The question is, are we listening? So how do we hear and recognize the voice of God so that we know him? Well, I'm not going to spend much time in this. I'll just list them. There are a number of ways to hear God. Of course, through his written word, you know. The living word speaks through his written word. He communicates himself to us as we prayerfully read through the Bible. Through each other, godly counsel. Sometimes God uses our loved ones to speak to us. He speaks to us in community, like leadership team and staff. We pray together and we discern together how God is leading. And so there's unity in community and hearing the voice of God. Sometimes through a prophetic message from one who has the gift of prophecy. Sometimes through open doors or closed doors. We're going to have all our kids home, but we both got COVID at Thanksgiving time, and so we had to cancel our plans. And so that was a bummer, but the door closed. Peace. When we have peace in our heart, we know that God is leading us. If it doesn't contradict God's word, it has to be in line with God's word. If we have enthusiasm within when we're praying about something, which means God within, in theos, man, God gives us an excitement to do this or go there. If we have a conviction of the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to discern if something is right or wrong. When we pray or we sit in silence, be still and know that I'm God. He speaks to us in that still, small voice. And then oftentimes just through the promptings that we have in our thoughts and in our hearts, we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. For example, last week I woke up on the day that the newsletter was due, and I had written it a couple days prior, but I woke up and God nudged me with another newsletter article. So I came to work and I scrapped the old one that I'd worked on and I quickly wrote the one that he gave me first thing in my thoughts when I woke up that day. Or sometimes, you know, someone's name pops in my head. And so, you know, I pray for them right then and there, or I might give them a call on the phone. And man, so many times God has confirmed that it was the voice of the Spirit. So I've stopped questioning that, is this just my own thinking, or is it the voice of God, His Holy Spirit? He's confirmed over and over again that it's Him speaking. So I've learned to trust the promptings. Our shepherd wants to know us, establish relationship. Secondly, our good shepherd came to us because he wants to lead us. Sheep have no sense of direction or discernment. They become easily frightened and confused. Tim Keller writes about sheep. He says, there's no such thing as wild sheep. With every animal, when you set them free, they're like, I'm free. A horse just takes off. A dog, well, it's many of them just bolt when they escape from the backyard or whatnot. But when you release a sheep, it walks out a few feet, looks back at you and goes, bah, what am I doing here? What's going on? Where's my shepherd? Help! A shepherd calls and they come to the shepherd. And we read in verse 3, he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. When he has brought them out, all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Shepherds in the West, well, we like to drive our sheep using sheepdogs. But the shepherds in the Near East, they lead the sheep using their voice. They don't use the scare tactics of sheepdogs. They don't use manipulation or force. And isn't that kind of what biblical leadership is all about? It's always through example, not by force. Verse 5, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Man, I could be so kind and gentle with some of the neighborhood dogs around our cul-de-sac. And I might even call them by their name and use my nicest inside voice. And yet some of them will bark their heads off and run away from me. Others will, they want to attack me, but then they get scared and run away too. But because they don't really trust my voice. They might know my voice, but they don't trust my voice. A stranger, a hired hand, or foreign Bedouin shepherd comes across a straying sheep, and the sheep will intuitively run away from that voice out of fear. They're fearful beings, and we too, as the sheep of the Good Shepherd, we can become fearful too. But the sheep who hear the shepherd's voice will faithfully come to their shepherd and follow their shepherd, even when they have no idea where their shepherd is leading them and what lies ahead in the future, because they trust their shepherd and their shepherd's voice. We just got done celebrating the birth of Jesus, and when Mary was initially given the announcement that she would give birth to the Son of God through the conception of the Holy Spirit, she would have been freaked out by that message, especially startled by the presence of this glowing, huge angel named Gabriel making the announcement. She would have known intuitively that if this were true, then people would misunderstand her. They would slander her name. They would slander her family's name because of this illegitimate child being born to someone other than her fiancé, her husband, Joseph. And Joseph, in fact, wouldn't believe Mary when he first heard this news. And so he secretly sought to divorce her. That is until Gabriel appeared before Joseph as well. And yet, listen to Mary's response right after hearing the angel's announcements. Announcement, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. This young girl, Mary, would have been following Jesus in all of her few years that she lived on this earth. Her heart was trusted in her God. And so when God gave her this message through the angel, she would continue to follow despite all the ramifications that she would be misunderstood, she'd be falsely accused, she'd be in physical danger, she would be intimidated, she would have to leave her family. Our God leads us, though, and we'll follow because we trust in our Good Shepherd. Thirdly, our Good Shepherd came to us to protect us. Sheep were helpless, and they were fearful. They were defenseless against their intruders. Listen to verse 1 again. Very truly, Jesus said, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. But the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gate to what? The gate to what you see there is it was an eastern sheep pen there with a small opening. It didn't have a literal door. It had an opening, though. This sheep pen here, called the gate or the door. Robbers and predators, and thieves, stray dogs, coyotes, wolves would seek to enter and get some of these sheep for lunch or take them captive, steal them. It's common right after my head hits the pillow at night and I'm getting ready to say nighty-night that Lynn will turn to me and say, hey, did you check the front door? Is it locked? I said, no. Did you check the basement? Are the pipes okay? Or is the garage door down? Or, you know, is that intruder under the bed hiding there? Is he comfortable, you know? No, she doesn't say that. But she does ask me because knowing that all these things, is the toaster oven off, you know, things like that, then she'll be able to sleep more peacefully knowing that all is secure. In verse 8, we're told, all who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved and secure. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Who is this thief trying to enter into the sheep pen illegally? This thief is obviously Satan. Satan is seeking to destroy us, to steal us away from God. And Satan's primary weapon that he uses against us is his tongue. Now, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and Satan was using the Pharisees to oppose Jesus throughout his life. And so Satan will use human beings as well who are captive to his deceit. They are not our real enemies, though. We're told in Ephesians that our real enemies are the powers and principalities of the unseen world. We're to even love our enemies as humans without accepting their behavior. Our real enemy is Satan, who uses his tongue to try to destroy us. His primary weapons in using his tongue will be temptation, deception, and accusation. And if we as believers buy into his lies and accusations, then he will succeed in holding us in bondage. He will succeed in his strategy to render us ineffective in our witness for Christ, even as sheep of the shepherd, children of God. And Satan's most common lies that he will whisper in our heads are, you are worthless, you are unacceptable, you are unwanted. Nobody cares about you. Nobody cares about your situation. Nobody really knows you or understands you, even God. And if they did, they would not accept you if they knew the real you. Or Satan disguises his lies even in the voice of God. I'm really disappointed in you. How can I ever hope to love you when you're so inconsistent and you're so unfaithful to me? But is this how God speaks to us? The answer is no way. These words originate straight out of the pit of hell from the father of lies, the accuser of the believers. Instead, I can picture Jesus putting his hands right on our shoulders, looking us square in the eye, knowing full well that we've failed him time and again, and speaking the words from Psalm 103, saying, I do not treat you as your sins deserve or repay you according to your iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is my love for you who trust me. And you know, when we know the truth of what God thinks of us, our good shepherd, then the truth will set us free. If we believe and succumb to Satan's lies, then those lies will hold us in bondage and we will walk in defeat, even as sheep of the shepherd. So we need to know God's word. We have no idea the extent of protection and security that we have in this world because our good shepherd watches over us. The spiritual warfare that is waging all around us would destroy us if they were given permission. But God holds Satan at bay. He promises to hold us and protect us. In verse 28, in fact, he says, I hold you in my hand. I give them eternal life. They will not perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me. He's greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So our good shepherd is telling us that not only am I holding my sheep, but my Father is holding my sheep as well. We're held secure. He's got the whole world in his hand as we sing. Our good shepherd is there to protect us. And then our good shepherd came to us to provide for us. In verse 9, he says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Why in the world would he send his sheep outside of the pen into the scary, you know, plains and wilderness to find pasture? Why wouldn't our good shepherd go out and retrieve food for us and bring it back to us in the safety and security of our sheep pen? Well, he wants to lead us out. He wants us to go find pasture in the same way that a mother bird will gently nudge their baby bird out of the nest when they're ready. For the same reason that a parent will drop off a child at daycare, even if the child is crying, or the parent will drop the kid off at kindergarten or at college, or even before that at camp. But here's the good news. We don't have to go out alone. Our shepherd always accompanies us. When he's brought us out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him. So if you feel like you're facing a scary situation, or God is leading you into an unknown, scary situation, then know that your good shepherd is with you, and he's leading you. He's nearby. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, the Lord who is our shepherd. And then finally, our good shepherd came to us to give us life. To give us life. Abundant life and eternal life. The thief Satan comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Have it to the full is an abundant life. The New Living Translation puts it this way: my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life as they walk on this earth for my kingdom. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want to represent you well on this earth. He gives us an abundant life of purpose, but he also gives us eternal life. The comedian Stephen Wright says, I plan to live forever. So far, so good. We can live forever only when we know the shepherd of the sheep, the good shepherd. For Jesus said, I am the gate, I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And in verse 28, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. So God gave us the good shepherd, and the good shepherd came to us. For what reason? For the reasons that we spoke about, to establish relationship with us, to protect us, to lead us, to provide for us, and to give us life. So I hope this is an encouraging message to you this new year that we're approaching, that our good shepherd will walk with us in it, through it, with us. Let's pray. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our good shepherd and that you truly do lead us and know us. You provide our every need. You give us a rich and satisfying life into eternity. So if there are those who are like sheep or wandering aimlessly right now at the end of this year, I pray, Lord, that we will begin to fix our eyes on you and follow you, because we know that you love us. You care for us. You know us intimately and desire so deeply for us to know you. So speak to us, Lord Jesus, our good shepherd. Speak to us even right now. Give us a word of hope and encouragement. Maybe a word of correction if need be. But only because you love us. We thank you that you are a good shepherd both now and forever. Amen.